Good morning, church family.
It is good to see all of you here on this rainy Sunday. We're glad you've chosen to come and worship with us, and to all of you at home, we're glad you joined in this morning. Want to let you know of a few announcements for this Sunday. Church council, if you're on church council, hopefully you know by now we are not meeting tonight. We will meet again in November, so no church council this afternoon. If you come and are a part of our Wednesday night prayer meeting, we'll meet at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, so be prepared for that this coming Wednesday. Also this Wednesday, if you are a 6th or 7th grader, you'll be starting back this week with Wednesday lunches with Nicole. If you are planning to come and have not yet let Nicole know what you would like for lunch, please let her know by Wednesday so that she can get that order in. Speaking of kids and youth, again, next Sunday, barring anything that will happen this week, we hope to start back Children and Youth Sunday School next Sunday. So hopefully nothing will happen this week and we can get back into that routine next Sunday. If you came and got a flu shot this past Monday at our flu clinic, we had a very successful flu clinic. We gave out 52 shots. If you did not come and would like to get your flu shot, we will have one next Monday, that's October 19th, back in the Family Life Center from 4 to 6. It will be another drive-through, so you just drive through and they'll give you your flu shot. So that'll be on the 19th from 4 to 6. If you would like to participate in Operation Christmas Child with the shoeboxes, we have some plastic shoeboxes down on this front row where Nicole is. You can pick a few of those up if you would like to participate in that. Those will be due at the beginning of November, so make sure you pick those up and fill a shoebox. Hopefully, if you came in from the back, you saw our van picture and that we're continually to raise money for a new van for our church. We are halfway there, actually a little over halfway there, and we have three more Sundays to go. So hopefully, if you've not given, there's still time. But Clyde from our transportation committee wants you to know how very proud of you he is for your giving for that. And we have three more Sundays to go. So let's keep giving to that effort. And if you, once again, if you want to know more about the van, Nicole has wonderful stories about our current van. So make sure you see her for that. If you're watching from home this morning, today is a special day in the life of our church. We are ordaining 6 new deacons, and that's always a wonderful service to be a part of. So as we prepare to rejoice and to celebrate with these folks, let's quiet our minds and let's prepare our hearts for worship.
There's a grace when my heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. All my dead left for dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning, either way I won't bow to the things of this world. I know I will never be alone. there is another in the fire, standing next to me. There is another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding, what power set me free? There is a grave that holds no body, now that power lives in me. There is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Darkness, as the darkness bows to him, I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin.
I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us, nothing stands between us. The name that is Jesus, he who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire, standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding, how could you bend to me? I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.
We have a lot of guests here today, and it's good to see all of you here. Usually what I do when guests are here, especially with this many, I tell folks I'm the visiting pastor, so you'll come back. But I'm the pastor, Andy Oliver, and it's good to see y'all all here today. We're having a great day today, and it's my privilege to pray this morning. We have some concerns we want to share with you as we begin our day with prayer, and thank you for the beautiful music. We want to be praying for our deacons, obviously, our new deacons who are coming on board and our current deacons who are already serving. We pray that you'll be praying for them and be remembering them. I want to remember the Peggy Hawkins family. Peggy died on Friday, and the funeral will be tomorrow. So y'all be praying for Peggy Hawkins' family. Bill Francis is in the hospital, so we need to be praying for Bill. So be remembering Bill Francis. So with that being said, I know that you have prayer concerns on your heart today. You lift them up as we pray together right now. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this privilege today to be here to worship. I pray, God, that you will speak to us today with a message that you have for us as we ordain these who are called to be our servant leaders in our community and in our congregation. I pray you'll bless them in their efforts and bless us as we strive to do the things you'd have us to do as your church. Father, as we gather here today, we know that some folks are absent. Some folks are going through difficult times, sickness and death and heartache. We pray for those individuals, Father, asking their blessings upon them and their families because they too are suffering. We pray for those who are here today to be ordained. We ask, God, that you'll bless them with courage and strength as they serve. I pray for those who are here today with thoughts on their mind that they haven't shared with anyone. They're hurting, and they need to know that you're there. And I pray, God, your presence will be known. I pray that this will be a service that glorifies you, and that folks will see Jesus Christ in our worship today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Before we have a special prayer and we have a charge to the deacons and a charge to the church, we have asked several people to come up and introduce to you our six new deacons. And I have had the privilege of introducing Sharon Carey, who's down here in front in the blonde, if you don't know Sharon. Sharon is married to Bob Carey, and they have been here for over 20 years. And they are so special to me. God brought them into my life after I prayed for a decade for neighbors. And most of you know I have a twin sister, and a lot of people think if you have a twin, you have like an instant best friend, and you do everything together. But Heather didn't want to do anything with me. And I have this very vivid memory of going out into my yard by myself because my dad worked a lot, and my mom wasn't about to go in the yard and play t-ball. And I had a t-ball stand, and I'd put the ball on it, and I'd hit it. I'd walk up the road and go get it. Come back. Put it back on there and hit it again. And I would pray. I remember in that moment praying, God, please send me some neighbors. And my family bought some land and built a house, and we had no neighbors. It was all, well, there are a million people there now. Andrew's back there now too, but we had no neighbors, just trees. And one beautiful day, the Carey family drove up the road and said they had bought the lot across the street and were building a house. And they had a daughter named Brittany who was my exact age. Here she is today. In fact, I don't usually call her Brittany. I call her neighbor because it was like such a beautiful gift that God finally gave me a neighbor. But the Carey family invited us to Papa Springs, and that's how we ended up here, and I've been here ever since. And they are some of the special people. I think when a church does things well, and you're a part of the church, and people are reaching out, you find sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and parents that, I have sisters and uncles and a sister and parents that are wonderful, but we live here, and we don't have any of those people around, and so the Carey family became like extra parents to me. They fed me spiritually and physically. I would eat at my house and then walk across the street and eat at their house. That was back when my metabolism still worked. So, but Sharon has been an encourager and a voice of reason and a shoulder to cry on, and has seen me weather through so many seasons of my life, and has been one of the people I call mom. So Sharon, I'm so privileged. You've been a deacon. You've been serving all over the place without that title for years. So it's a privilege to introduce you today to Papa Springs on the day that you get that title officially.
Good morning, church. It's my privilege and pleasure today to introduce to you Andrew Day. I've known Andrew for several years through a mutual friend named Scott Davenport, who we affectionately call Scotty D. And Andrew and I met at a lovely place called Fort Caswell. And I have stayed at Andrew's house because he is just a person of hospitality. And so when we would come this way for a casual gathering, Andrew would literally open up his home for people he had never met. and so we would stay at Andrew's sometime. In all the years I've known Andrew, it is no surprise to me that he was chosen by this church after only being here for 2 years to serve in the role of deacon. He has a servant's heart. And if you have ever met Andrew, it is very evident in the way he conducts himself and the way he lives his life. And so I am honored today to present him to you for the role of deacon. Just in case you don't know Andrew, I asked him to send me a few basic bio facts. He was born and raised in Concord. He graduated from Gardner-Webb University, with a degree in religious education and a minor in coaching. He runs all-day cheerleading and coaches at Gardner-Webb. He loves his tractor and yard work, and he spends a lot of time traveling, some for work and some for disaster relief. And so Andrew is just a special, special member of our community. I've had the privilege of serving with him with several youth ministries, and he serves as a volunteer with our youth ministry here in the church. And one of the things that I wanted to make note of today is that there is a special member of Andrew's family who is not with us today, but here in spirit. Andrew lost his father a couple years ago, and I read a recent post of Andrew's on Facebook, and I asked him, so I share this with permission, and so I wanted to read a few excerpts because I felt like they were very appropriate for this morning. Andrew wrote, "Today is filled with a lot of emotions. Today would have been my dad's 73rd birthday. Along the 20-minute drive to where he was traveling and back, he had a lot of thoughts, a lot of memories flooded his heart and mind. And listen to this. He said, this coming Sunday, I will have the honor to follow in his footsteps and be ordained as a deacon. That role and that milestone, I always admired in my dad. Andrew, I think I can say on behalf of the church and your family, your father would be very proud. It is my pleasure to present to you today, Andrew Day."
I'm here today to introduce my mother, Wendy Lemons. She is in over there. Wendy has been married to my father, Vance Lemons, for 26 years. I'm an only child, and I've been married to my wonderful husband, Blake Wilkie. She's a school counselor at Graber Elementary and loves her kids. She absolutely adores her job and loves everything about it. Her favorite hobbies are crafting, planting succulents, and playing with her two Pomeranian puppies. I feel as she would make a great deacon because she has been in this church my whole life. She has grown through every age and every aspect, through every milestone and tribulation through this whole church with my growth. Her faith has grown so much over the years, and she puts her heart and soul into everything she does. She's a great listener when needed, and she also can problem solve with problems if you need her as well. Her love for the Lord is overflowing, and I can't wait to see what she does as your next deacon.
It's my pleasure to introduce to you Phil Piercy. He kind of coughed a little bit as I walked by saying, go easy on me now. Phil Piercy and I have known each other for quite some time. It didn't take me long to learn that, so when there's a need, Phil is always ready and willing to pitch in and fill the need. Now, he especially has a place in his heart for those that are not able to help themselves. He currently is helping a neighbor who is in a facility to keep his place up and in good working condition in order, just for security and just general upkeep. I've known Phil since the fifth grade, and when my family moved into the neighborhood where he lived. Now, Phil is a real strong Shelby High School fan, or supporter, whatever, and I'm Crest High School fan, but exactly back in those days, we were actually on the same side, but I kind of moved out and defected. Okay, so we played together as children and share some of the same interests as adults. We both enjoy camping and cooking out. One interest he has that I really don't share is his interest in riding motorcycles on long cross-country excursions. I believe he has visited almost every state, mostly due to motorcycle excursions. I think he might be missing a couple somewhere. I do like to think with age comes wisdom, and being called old doesn't really bother me. But once each year, recently, Phil has called me old man, but only for 1 week. As it turns out, Phil and I have a birthday exactly 1 week apart, so for 1 week, I'm older than he is. Anyway, Phil is married, Donna, his wife, and he has 3 children, and I hope I get this right, 3 grandchildren, okay. So I'm sorry about that. But I believe Phil will make a good deacon here for Poplar Springs, and I congratulate him on accepting this honorable duty of service. Thank you.
Good morning. When you hear the name Heather, you might think of a sweet little pink or white flower that grows on shrubs in rocky areas. When you hear the name Heather Poston, you think of the sweetest little soul that can out-sing everyone in song with her beautiful sign language. 21 years ago, Heather and her new husband, Gary, came to Poplar Springs and joined our congregation. So if you've been here long enough around Poplar Springs through the years, you'll remember Robert Jones would always ask who or what family you belong to so that he could make a connection and ultimately figure out if he was related to you. Well, Heather belongs to Paul and Barbara Bowen of the Mount Zion community, and lo and behold, she is related to someone in our church. Her father and Linda Lemons, which is Vance and Carol's mom, we're first cousins, and so Heather does have a relative here at Poplar Springs. So Heather is a compassionate soul who takes pride in helping individuals in a quiet sort of way. In her school job at Springmore Elementary, at Township 3 Elementary, and at Turning Point Academy, helping students with disabilities, working with families, and also helping out in many capacities in our church. She is dedicated to God and her family, which is evident in her everyday expressions as she always does the right thing. Please help me to welcome Heather Poston.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know me, I am Anna Hunt, and I have the honor of introducing you to one of our fabulous deacon-elects, Jeannie Price. Jeannie and I have been partners in crime, teaching children in the first and second grade Sunday school class together here for the past 9 years. Our Sunday school kids lovingly refer to her as the crazy cat lady, since she has 9 cats and loves wearing her cat mask to church, but she did not wear it today. I have been fortunate to know her even before our Sunday school days together, since I grew up and graduated from high school the same year as her son, Scott Moss. Jeannie has been married to her husband, Alan, for 29 years. She grew up in the Poplar Springs community on Old Bullen Springs Road and was raised in this church. In her spare time, she loves gardening and can name almost any flower I ask her about. She enjoys spending time with her many animals, telling funny stories, and checking on her family and friends. While growing up, I would have referred to Jeannie as Scott's mama, but now I am so blessed to be able to say that she and Alan are considered a part of my family and are very dear friends. Luke 10, verses 25 through 37, tells Jesus' parable about the Good Samaritan. The many stories I could tell you about Jeannie would confirm that she is certainly a present-day Good Samaritan. The way I have experienced how she cares for the homeless, bedridden, hospitalized, and downtrodden shows that she has a heart for all people, which makes her perfect for the role as deacon at Poplar Springs. So I'm so honored to get to love Jeannie and Alan, and I'm so excited for all of you to get to love and know her better as well, too.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we turn to you to pray for our new deacons. We give you thanks for how you have blessed this church, for how you continue to build and shape our church, and for giving us the joy today of appointing new deacons to serve our church. We would ask that you would bless these new deacons, that they may know true humility and be faithful in their service to you. Remind them of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in fulfilling the ministry you gave to him, gave to serve rather than to be served, sought the needs of others rather than seeking his own. ministered to people without prejudice and with courage, loved unconditionally. We ask, Lord, that you pour generously into their lives your Holy Spirit. Fill them with your love and compassion so that they may see their brothers and sisters as you see them, and that they will learn the duties that they have been appointed to fulfill. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
So as you guys have seen, not only are we ordaining new deacons today, we have 6 new deacons to ordain. And here at Poplar Springs, we don't take that lightly. Our deacons are not just people who vote about the color of the carpet, but they are the arms of the church, and they reach out and help serve. Now, we have a wonderful pastor, Andy, and Andy could do a lot of things. He could teach Sunday school, and he could clean the kitchen. He's shaking his head at me. Or the toilets. How about that? Okay. He could do a whole lot of things, but we hired Andy to be our pastor and to lead us in that role. So although he does have many gifts and he has served in other capacities at other places and at other times, we ask him to be the pastor. And we ask him to be here on Sundays and Wednesdays and have a message for us and to help us as we grieve and as we celebrate births and marriages, and as we lay our loved ones to rest. And in order for Andy to do that, other people have to do other jobs. And those deacons, our new deacons here at this church, you all help us to care for one another here at our church. The leaders of the early church came to find out this early on, the need for extra people doing extra work. We are reading today from the book of Acts chapter 6, and as we get ready to read from Acts chapter 6, let's just remember what has happened in history up until this point. The disciples have seen Jesus die a terrible death. He's been resurrected. He's walked along the earth with his people for 40 days afterwards, and he has ascended into heaven. So they have been through a range of emotions. And when you come to Acts chapter 2, they're actually hiding away. Pentecost is happening, and they're all in a room hiding together when the Holy Spirit descends down and shows up as tongues of fire over the heads of believers. And from that moment on, they are empowered to do all sorts of things. And they leave the room and they spread the word. And what started as 12 people following one has become a religion and a faith that has taken the hearts of 1/3 of all people on the earth. It started so small, and the Holy Spirit came and empowered them to do so much. And as the church began to become what we call the church today and expand, the early church did have an issue. So here we are, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. If you have it open, you can read along with me. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." The proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So the early church had to decide what to do. The disciples could have given up what they were doing to feed the widows, but if they did, then who would do the praying and the preaching? Both are important jobs, but disciples can't do them both well. So they ordain a group of 7 to take over. And the beautiful part about them ordaining the group of 7 to take over is that what follows in the scripture is that the word begins to spread. We have different people doing different tasks, all important tasks, and the word of God spreads. So I was thinking this week, what would be a good charge to deacons, and what would remind us what makes you a good deacon as you help to serve Poplar Springs? And I had 3 really weird memories that God gave me of duties that I have had in the past. Not professional jobs, but jobs that I've had that I was terrible at. And I thought I would share with you what my terrible jobs were, because if you know why I was bad at them, then you'll know why you need to be, or what you need to be good at to be deacons. I know that's strange, but what else is new for me? I don't have a dog story, though, so I'm sorry to let you down with that. Okay, when I was a first-year teacher, first-year teachers aren't supposed to have extra duties, but I had cafeteria duty. And they gave me cafeteria duty about October, once like the excitement of going back to school has died. And it was breakfast cafeteria duty. So I don't know if you've been there and you've survived that, but people don't want to be at school, so they're angry. But also they're in line for breakfast, so they're hungry. So they're hangry. And I had to stand there, and I had to tell them if they weren't dressed appropriately, and I had to tell them not to pass in line, and I had to tell them not to steal food, and they hated me, and they cussed me out every morning, and it was the worst beginning to a day ever, the worst beginning of a job ever. But the reason I wasn't good at it, because I thought about this week, you know, if the head football coach had been doing cafeteria duty, oh, everyone would have loved to see him. They would have been high-fiving and, hey, how are you? But I was a brand new teacher, and nobody knew me. I didn't know the students. I didn't have a relationship with the students. I lacked relational part of it. I lacked intentionality, because honestly, I didn't really want to develop a relationship with people who were cussing me out over biscuits. So strive to be relational and intentional about reaching out to the people of Poplar Springs, and you will serve well as deacons. All right, another job I had only lasted about a week, washing squash. Back before Adam and I were married, I think we were in that weird stage where we weren't dating or married, but he knew that I had no money and no job. And they had grown squash all summer, and he needed somebody to wash the squash. So he felt bad for me, and he asked me to come wash the squash, which is a pretty easy job. You just wash the squash, and you put it back in a box, and then they sell it, and they make their money. But I was really bad at washing squash as well. And here's why. It's because I have fingernails. And no one wants to buy squash if they're bruised and gashed up. But I also didn't want to stand on concrete for hours and hours and wash squash. So I'm washing squash, washing squash. Go home and practice that, washing squash. For an hour, hours and hours, and I'm just gashing the squash up because I'm trying to finish. And they're all ugly. And I guess he sold those squash. He paid me. He never said anything mean about it. But I didn't want to sacrifice my fingernails. I also didn't want to sacrifice my time to do a good job, and that made me a very bad squash washer. So as a deacon, this doesn't take over your job. You don't quit your job. You don't quit your family to be a deacon at Poplar Springs, but it does require sacrifice. It does require that when the rest of us are binge-watching Netflix and playing ball games or doing whatever we're doing, that in your free time, some of your free time is now dedicated to loving the members of Poplar Springs, and we thank you so much for being willing to make that sacrifice. As you spend your free time, if you spend your free time selflessly reaching out, praying, and building relationships with this congregation, you will be wonderful deacons. And finally, guarder of the cows. One time, for 20 minutes, I guarded a whole herd of cows. That's what Adam had tricked me again. I wish he was here. But he had tricked me. He said he needed to fix something on the farm, and I was there, so I walked down the road with him. And he said, oh, I need to fix this fence. But we walked halfway into the field, and he left me there. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? And he said, you're supposed to make sure the cows don't get out. And if you've never been around cows, they're pretty intimidating. They're really big. And I didn't care at all about the cows, and I didn't want to be there. And what he gave me to defend myself and to keep the cows in was a rock. He said, put out your hand, and he gave me a rock. And then he left. I was really angry. That's funny. You can laugh at that. Here's what made me a bad cow guarder. I was ill-equipped because all I had was a rock and no knowledge of cows. And also completely unwilling to do the jobs. I know you guys are not unwilling. You are willing to do this job, and you're not ill-equipped either. You are equipped, each with your different gifts. So know your gifts and be willing to use them. Strive to use the gifts God has given you, the gifts of words, prayer, encouragement, relationship, and be generous with them and have faith that God will use them, and you will be wonderful deacons. I'm going to read the last two verses again. Acts chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. May the work and acts of each of you bring grace, understanding, compassion, and mercy to our church body, and may they cause the word of God to spread in our community. At this time, I'll ask each of our deacons just where you are, if you'll stand up. Just our deacons, if you'll stand where you are, and I will ask you to respond to this question. Do you promise to strive to so live that you may honor Christ by your life? And do you promise, in the presence of this congregation, to accept the responsibility of the office of deacon in this church, and to the best of your knowledge and ability, fulfill all the duties of this office? If so, will you say, I do? Thank you. You may be seated. At this point, we will invite each of our deacons to come up and respond. And Sharon, if you will lead us off.
Thank you, Nicole, for such a wonderful introduction. And we have loved your family since the day you moved into the day we moved in. Poplar Springs family, I am so humbled and honored to be chosen as a deacon. I pray that I would be able to follow God's calling as he would tell me what I need to do and how to reach out. I pray that as I serve him, I will serve you. I thank you so much for allowing me to be your deacon.
I truly want to say thank you so much for this opportunity from the bottom of my heart. It's hard to believe that just over 2 years ago, I walked in the front doors looking for a new church home. It didn't take long before I realized I was in the right place. If you're wondering, how is he standing up here in 2 years? I'm thinking the same thing. I'm shocked just as much as you are. Y'all voted, and I'm not in the business of telling God or Janet McSwain no. So here I am. From Nellie giving me a hug on my first or second visit to Catherine coming up and introducing herself and saying with a look that says, we're going to be friends whether you like it or not. And luckily that worked out. To being able to work side by side with Nicole with the awesome youth of this church, it has been a blessing and an awesome opportunity to be involved in a place that now I call my home. I'm thankful to have my family here, but in reality, this church has become my family. I am excited to see how this plays out. I'm excited to be able to walk with you, talk with you, laugh with you, and maybe somewhere along the way, maybe shed a few tears. I don't know how this will play out, but I know that God will be in the middle of everything, and I know that this church is doing amazing things, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. Thank you, and God bless.
I want to first of all thank God for all he's done in my life, including making this opportunity possible. And I want to thank my family and the church for your support and your confidence in me to do this job. Vance and I, when we got married 26 years ago, we didn't want to go to my church where I had been, and we weren't going to go to the church he'd grown up in. We wanted to find our church. And so we came here to Poplar Springs. And I truly believe God led us here because this has been the most supportive church. And so now I feel like it's my turn to pay back to some of you the support that you've given me and my family all these years. And just like Andrew said, I want to be here to smile with you, to celebrate, but also to grieve with you and to help you through trials and tribulations. But thank you again for this opportunity, and I ask for your prayers.
I know most of you, or a lot of you, but for the ones, again, that I don't know or don't know me, I'm Phil Piercy. And I've thought about what I would say when I got up here, and I said, you know, I've changed my mind about six different times on what I would say. But I would say that how many of you have gotten a call on the telephone, and you, particularly now with caller ID, and you look at it and you go, you know, I don't know if this is a call I want to take or not. And so when I was asked to be a deacon, I thought about it really hard for a few days. And the first thing I thought to myself is, you know, am I worthy to do this? Am I qualified to do this? Because this is something that we should take seriously. And after I thought about it, I felt like that, you know, it's kind of like looking at caller ID and it's the FBI or the tax people. The IRS calling you, you better take the call. And as somebody said earlier, you know, how did you tell God's calling no? And so I'm privileged, honored, grateful that some folks decided that I would be asked to do this. And so I'd ask that for your prayers, for your support. And I feel like there's a lot of need in the community, and our church members, myself, my family, all the families here. It's been a trying year for most everybody. And if I can make a difference in somebody's life, if I can support somebody, I really want to do that. And I will again ask for everybody's prayers and support, and not just the ones that I've been assigned, but anybody in this church, if I can help you in any way, please don't hesitate to call me. Thank you very much.
Good morning. So when I first got the call from Jenny McSwain about being nominated as a deacon, I was shocked, beyond flattered. And my first reaction was, wow, are you sure about this? Are you sure you're calling the right person? To be honest, I have never viewed myself as a deacon. It was rather hard to wrap my mind around that concept. In my mind, Poplar Springs deacons are the church members that the congregation leans on and looks to for leadership, encouragement, and support. They are the pillars and the backbone of the church, those who are steadfast in their beliefs and live a life close to God. Some deacons that come to mind who I've really admired their spirit and commitment are Betty Jones, Robert Callahan, and of course, Gary Poston. And that's just to name very few. So I had to ask myself and God, why would I be chosen? There are so many more other qualified people. I know this because I voted for them, so I know they're out there. I don't know if they got the call or not, but I voted for them. And the quiet answer that kept coming to my mind was, because I wanted you chosen. God was not giving me a challenge. He was not only giving me a challenge, but an opportunity. So the more I thought about this, the more I remembered that in the Bible and throughout history, God doesn't use perfect people. I swore I wasn't going to do this. Because if he only chose perfect people, no one would be ready and available to further his kingdom and be a part of his plan. In reality, God usually chooses the most unlikely people at the right time for the right moment. And there's a comfort and peace in knowing that. I will close by saying that I am more than flattered and humbled when I received that call. I was excited about this opportunity. That's how I knew that God was giving it to me. He helped me realize that I had this opportunity to serve others selflessly. I had an opportunity to help others grow in Christ. And I also had an opportunity for me to grow as well. So thank you, Poplar Springs, for this new adventure. I am not perfect, but I am willing. I am honored and humbled. So thank you again for allowing me to serve you, the church, in this way. I am truly looking forward to it. Thank you.
Hey, y'all, I'm Jeannie Price. Andy, this is for you. When Mr. Darlin's daughter said to him, "Don't sing that one, Pa, it makes me cry." Girls, y'all shouldn't have sung that one. That made me cry. Started me right off. And then as I got dried up, then Anna started. So I thank you all for those words and that song. I thank you, church family, for a surprising thing and for giving me the opportunity to serve as a deacon. I certainly do look forward to it. My parents, Carl and Louise Roberts, we grew up in this community, and they brought me and my brothers here to this church as we were growing up. And so I've been here a while. Most of my adult life was spent here at this church. And then I remembered, you know, my great-grandfather, Sid Jones, was a charter member of this church. And since I am the last man standing in that family, the last family member here, that makes it special for me too. So I'm truly honored, and I just thank every one of you, and I look forward to doing my best. Thank you.
Christ my Savior, live in me from day to day, by His love and power controlling all I do and say.
May the word of God dwell rich.
Through
I'm not drunk. I think the vertigo's getting to me. I've had some of that lately, so I'm not drunk. So I'm okay, so don't worry about that. Have y'all had the same tendency I have? A couple of times I've wanted to go, yeah. I mean, y'all said some great stuff. This has been an affirming service. I've worshiped, but it's been very affirming because we've had some good things that have been said about some wonderful people, and it's been great to be here today, and it's been special, and I've worshiped. I want to share a little bit about a charge to the church, but I want to say a few things about the deacons that have come on board. Sharon Carey. Sharon's been a deacon. She just hadn't had the title. You talked about that. When the big COVID thing happened, Sharon and Bob were the first to bring me a mask. Brought me one that had Clemson on it, so I was good to go. And they brought it over there, but they've done many things for me through the years. Andrew Day. I knew Andrew was going to stick around here when he made himself available to us. You know, sometimes folks come to a church and they say, I wasn't welcomed. And the reason they're not welcomed is because they don't make themselves available. They just kind of, I'll give you an example. I had a guy one time said, I came to your church and nobody spoke to me. I said, where did you sit? He said, and sat in the balcony. I said, okay, when did you leave? He said, before the last song. I said, I'm pretty sure nobody spoke to you. So, Andrew made himself available. And in fact, it only took a couple of weeks before I told Andrew, I said, Andrew, now your place is right there. You stay there. Because I'm used to you being there. You're in the Baptist church and you have your place, so you stay there. Wendy Lemons. Wendy's an enthusiastic person, and she's a hospitable person. My wife just went to see her mother the other day, and she said, Andy, would you come over to my house and meet with me and Vance? Because I know you're going to be alone. I said, I'm going to be alone for 2 hours. But, you know, she's a hospitable person, and her and Vance are very good friends, and I love them to death, and they're a tremendous family, and I appreciate them. Phil Piercy. Phil is a knowledgeable guy. He knows a lot. He won't tell you that, but he does. And he's got a lot of good knowledge, and he's very informative and helps me a lot of times with questions I have, and he's also helpful. He told me the other day, he said, Andy, if you ever need any help, let me know. And I said, well, you know I'm not well, Phil. So, Phil, I'm going to be having surgery in a couple of weeks. If you'll take care of my house, I need the grass cut once a week. I got to know Phil and Donna when they had the pizza joint here in town. And they were fine folks, so that's great. Where am I here? Heather Poston. That's the sweetest person around. She's sweet. Sweet spirit, and she got emotional up here. And I about did myself because it's just she's a very special person, a very emotional person. And we need folks like that, folks who feel with you. You know, in Romans it says, you rejoice with those who rejoice, and you weep with those who weep. And that's important to think. We need people like that on the deacons. And Jeannie Price. Jeannie is an interesting person. We went to visit Jeannie one time when she was sick, and I felt like I needed to pay a cover charge or something because it was so great. The comedy routine was unbelievable. We left there and we said, we're going to come back. I'm going to get tickets next time. She's great, and she draws ministry. Ministry just happens to her. She's out there, and somebody goes, I'd love to tell the story, but I can't. But, you know, she was at Walmart one time, and a lady said, could you take me to the bathroom? And she did. And she wound up in the bathroom for a while. So, Jeannie, get down and dirty. Do what you got to do. So we've got a great group of deacons here. I'm tickled to death to have them. They're going to do a wonderful job. We deacons were looking at a ministry plan with the last year's deacon, back when we used to meet as a church. You know, back in the old days when we used to meet. And we were talking about a deacon plan. And that's something I think we're going to try to utilize in the coming days with our new deacons. We wanted to have ministry areas and objectives there where they could lead us in ministry in this church because there are a number of different needs here. Some of the needs I was thinking about was caregiver ministry. We've got people in the church who are taking care of spouses and people like that. So that a caregiver ministry, people who need to be encouraged there. Homebound ministry, we have folks who can't get out of sight, out of mind. They don't need to be that way. They need to be in our minds. Ministry to widows and widowers. Ministry in our local schools. Community ministry. New member and regular attender assimilation. We have a lot of folks who just come here and have just taken up with us. And that's great. They're here. And we want to make sure folks feel welcome here. We can do that. We've got a lot of things to do. And they can lead us in that. In addition to that, they have the Deacon Family Ministry where they visit the sick. They visit the hospitals. and also visit the lonely. They've got a big job ahead of them. We're asking quite a bit of these folks. We're asking quite a bit of them, as we call them, as leaders in service. Leaders in service. Servant leaders like Jesus, who took a basin and a towel and washed his disciples' feet. We need to remember that. We have a church. We as a church have a responsibility as well. We have responsibilities to pray for them, to pray for them. Just take the time to look at a list of them and pray for them on an individual basis, to encourage them. That's a wonderful ministry, to tell somebody, to encourage them, to offer to help them help our congregation and the community, to offer to help them. Don't let them do it by themselves. We're all gifted. Help them. We're ordaining new deacons, affirming current deacons, and I'm challenging and charging this congregation to support them in their work as servant leaders among us. We're asking for your support. Will you consent to pray for these new deacons and our deacon body as a whole? We encourage them and offer your affirmation and assistance in serving this congregation and community. If you will you consent by saying, I will? Thank you. In Acts chapter 3, which is the account of the choosing of the first deacons, and Nicole shared that with you a few minutes ago, the word of God spread, and the numbers of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And large numbers of priests became obedient to the faith. The church was having a time. They were having folks who were complaining and whining, and because they weren't being treated fairly. And basically, the first deacons were called to be referees. They need our help. They need our help. And it says this, and we need to remember this. The church flourished, and God was glorified. The church flourished. The church grew, and God was glorified. Pray that God, as God uses these deacons and this congregation, that we'll do likewise, that we will flourish, and God will get the glory. Thank you. And let's pray. God, I ask that you'll bless us as we serve you. I pray that you'll help us to be servants along with our servant leaders. And I pray, God, you'll speak to us each day with the needs and opportunities, that needs will find us, and that we'll use our gifts to share the word. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you look at, I think it's going to be on the board here. I was going to say look at your bulletin, but we don't have those anymore. An affirmation and a covenant. Okay, good. Will you read this with me? We affirm and commend you, Sharon, Andrew, Wendy, Phil, and Jeannie, for your willingness to serve as our deacons. Heather, we commend you for your willingness and readiness to serve on our deacon board should the need arise. We promise to pray for all of you. May your spiritual leadership inspire us all to follow our Lord as we continue to be the body of Christ at Poplar Springs. Thank you. Okay, we're going to present our certificates this time. And also, we don't lay on hands because that's what we used to do in the church. They used to come forward and we'd put our hands on them and let them know that we affirm them. What we're going to be doing is giving them a certificate and also a little conglomeration of letters. I'm having a time today, y'all. My wife told me, she said, Andy, when you get up there, don't bob your head all the time. But I said, I can't help it. Some days I have days like this. So I'm the dancing preacher today. See, y'all just bear with me. But I will tell you a good story about, since we aren't laying on with hands. Dennis Swanberg tells a great story. He talks about the time when his daddy was laying on hands. And the deacons were up there. The deacons coming on board were there. And he went up to one guy and he said, put your hands on there. And you don't know what to say sometimes because you say a prayer to you, you offer a word of encouragement. But his dad got up there, put his hands on there and said, how much are you asking for that truck you're selling? And a moment was had then. It was special. It was very special. But we're going to give some letters of affirmation, and we're going to give certificates. So let's do that right now. And then Catherine will offer our benediction and prayer for our offering. All right. Good to go.
as in a lot of services that we've had in the midst of this pandemic, it's not looked the same. But it's also been unique and special to be able to still have the chance to honor all of you who are new deacons. We are so very thankful for each of you. Our congregation looks forward to how you're going to serve the church. But as has already been said, you're already serving the church in a variety of different ways, and we're just thankful that you've taken on this new job and title within our congregation. Church family, we want to remind you that during the week, if you have any prayer concerns, our Deacon of the Week is Jim Johnson. If you have any concerns, you can call him if you cannot get somebody at the church. Or I know all of our deacons stand at the ready to assist you if you need any assistance. Usually, Dennis, you're at the back. Is it raining still outside? It is not raining outside. Okay. I'm going to ask that Andy and our new deacons, if you will head towards the door in a second as we pray. Remember, no hugging, no handshakes. You can give some virtual or some 6 feet apart hugs and smiles and waves. But if you want to say something to each of our deacons, you'll have a chance at the door. Andy will be there to greet you as well. Thank you all for joining us for worship this morning. And would you join me as we pray before we depart? God, we thank you for this time we've had together to do what you call us to do, which is lift each other up, to affirm each other and encourage one another, God. And we're so thankful we've had the chance to do that for these six individuals who are committing to serving our church in a variety of ways as a deacon. God, we thank you for their willingness. We thank you for their commitment to our church. And God, we look forward to watching them not only serve our church, but helping us to grow as we seek to be your followers. God, I pray for our church as we move throughout this week. God, I pray that you will inspire us to live lives that reflect who you are, that we would demonstrate for the world, for our communities, for our schools, for our families, what it means to love you and love each other. God, thank you for this chance we've had to worship you. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful evening.